Exodus chapter 19, if you look in verse number 16, let's all stand, please, for the reading of the Bible. Exodus 19 and verse number 16. The Bible says, "And it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mount, and the voice of the trumpet exceeding loud, so that all the people that were in the camp trembled. And Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the nether part of the mount. And Mount Sinai was altogether on a smoke, because the Lord descended upon it in fire. And the smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace. And the whole mount quaked greatly. And when the voice of the trumpet sounded long and waxed louder and louder, Moses spake, and God answered him by a voice. And the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai on the top of the mount. And the Lord called Moses up to the top of the mount, and Moses went up." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I would ask, Lord, as we share some things tonight by both the sermon and scripture and testimony, that you would, Lord, teach us some good things, some practical things that will help us in our Christian life. Lord, thank you, dear Lord, that yes, we come to church to learn the Bible, but Lord, if we're tuned in, if we're listening, it's amazing how many times in the everyday affairs of what you allow us to experience, the scriptural and the biblical principles, the lessons of life, the practical lessons of life, Lord, that you'll bestow upon us. We pray, Lord, that we learn some things that will help us. We pray tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I'm going to preach a two-part message. I'm going to start tonight. I'm going to preach Mountain Lessons 1. And on Sunday night, Mountain Lessons 2. And so if you're here tonight, one of the requirements is that you have to come back on Sunday night. All right. Now, Sunday morning, we're going to preach this mountain that we're climbing is the mountain of supernatural peace. And I honestly was going to preach this two-part message on Sunday, the mountain lessons, Sunday morning, Sunday night. But I got to studying about that supernatural mountain of peace, and I want to save that for our Sunday morning crowd. And we're going to go up with Elijah on that mountain. Remember the servant of Elijah? Remember how he did not have peace, how upset he was, how scared he was. And yet Elijah said, "God, allow him to see. Allow him to..." Now listen, folks, I'm going to tell you something. I don't care what your circumstances is. God's bigger than any circumstance. I don't care what you're fighting. I don't care what you're facing. And by the way, young people, yes, if you look across the horizon of our nation, it seems like that there's more against us than are for us. But you know what? If you have God, then you have a majority. And so we're going to do some preaching on that. You can tell I want to kick in and just do it now, but I'm going to stay with this. Mountain Lessons 1, Part 1, Mountain Lessons Part 2, Wednesday night, Sunday night. As I was blessed to go through a series of circumstances, me and Brother Castle for about several years. Now, I've been talking off and on for 20 years about going out west and doing an elk hunt, and I got to figuring out what my age was and thought, if I'm ever going to get this done, still be able to do it, maybe I better get with it here. And so we decided last year that we would do that. Eric Nicholas, I grew up across the field from Eric Nicholas. Many of you know Eric. And I talked to him about a year ago, and he said, "Hey, I'll tell you what, I'll just go with you guys, and we'll go to Colorado." He's been out there several times. And so I said, "Let's do it." And then a series of circumstances happened in his life with his work that didn't allow him to be able to go. As of about 3 weeks ago, we were just at the point of about canceling the trip and not going at all. And then really by the good divine hand of God and through some mutual acquaintances, I was introduced to a man in Montana, and a good man, a godly man, a good Christian man. And he extended an invitation for me and Pastor Calso to go out and spend the week hunting with him. And so we went from thinking we weren't going to go at all to the Lord opening the door and allowing us to go. And so we walked through that door and went. And I was looking forward to it. Now, the theme this year, give me this mountain. Brother Reiser has accused me since the very beginning of this that I simply came up with that theme because of the fact that I planned on going hunting out west in the mountains. And I'd like to be able to deny that. I haven't denied it yet. But, climbing mountains, we've been talking about it. And we've been coming and preaching about it. But you know, I've been looking forward to it because there's something, it's one thing about talking about it, another thing about doing it. And I don't know about you, but my family, when we were kids, we'd go down the Smoky Mountains and vacation some. And as a kid, I'd always look out the window and I just wish Dad would pull the car over. I want to climb that mountain right there. I mean, it was always in my heart. Now that I've done it, I realize how stupid I was to ever want to do that. But, you know, when you're a kid, you just, you know, I don't want to look at it. I want to get to the, look at that. There's the top of it. It's just right there. And Dad, just pull over and we'll all walk up the mountain. It seemed pretty easy when you're 7 or 8, you know. And but I got to climb some mountains for the first time. I mean, go out and climb some mountains. Where we camped out about a mile and a half off of the last vestige of civilization, we drove back into these dirt roads and rock roads and places where Pastor Castle's yuppie truck, I wasn't sure if we were going to get it down there or not, you know. But after the snow came in on Wednesday, we had to use tire chains in order to get back to where we were and back to where we needed to be. I mean, it was out there. It was about 5,500 feet about sea level where we camped at. We climbed all the way up as high as 8,000 feet. And there's only one way to elk hunt at this time of year because the rut's over. And that's this. You get up before dark and you climb up the back side of the mountain because they're down in the meadows. As soon as the light comes, they come up and they come up to the high timbers and you're up there hoping to intercept them. Of an evening, you sneak up the ravines and you get to the base, not the base of the mountain, but as high as you can without being seen in hopes of catching them coming out of the high timbers. And that's how you hunt. During the day, then you climb up into the mountain and you hunt the high timbers and you stalk and hunt and glass in an attempt to try to catch some of them that are eating in the middle of the day or bedded down. And so the very first day that I was there, the man that took us hunting, I went with him. And he parked the truck at the base of a mountain, and he said, we're going up there, and we proceeded to climb over 2,000 feet up the side of a mountain. And that was my introduction to mountain hunting. And that day, the very first day I was there, I hiked over 8 miles up and down mountains that day. I was thoroughly and completely exhausted. I have never been so tired by the time I got back to camp. And Tuesday, we did it again. Actually, God was good, allowed me to kill my bull elk on Monday night. By the time we got up to look for it, it had gotten dark, so we hunted that same area the next morning, and after we hunted, we went to look for it, was able to find it, and thank God for that, and recover it. And then we had the process of deboning it. For you hunters, there's no such thing as grabbing an elk like you would grab a whitetail and dragging it to the truck. They're just too big. And so we literally butchered it on the mountain. We skinned the hide all the way down, rolled the hide up, and completely deboned every bit of meat, put it into bags, put it into our packs, and we packed about 250 pounds of meat off of the mountain, plus the cape, plus the head off the mountain. When I got back to the camp on Tuesday night, I was exhausted, literally exhausted. I really was sitting there thinking, I don't know if I can do anything on Wednesday, but you know what I did? 4:30 in the morning when the old rugged mountain man woke up, 70-year-old man, Christian man that took us. He carried a 90-pound pack of meat off that mountain, a mile and a half down to the camp. That guy is, you know, you can watch Hollywood, and you can talk about mountain men. I'm telling you, I spent a week with a mountain man and a good, godly man, and taught me a lot. 70 years old, God's given the strength of Caleb, you know, when he said, I want that mountain, you know. And had been hunting for 27 years, killed 24 elk in 27 years, which you talk to anybody out west, you know what? That's miraculous. There's a 20% kill percentage on elk hunting in Montana, which means if 5 guys go hunting, 1 guy will maybe get a elk. 4 of us went hunting together, and God was good to give us 2 elk, 50% success ratio. The pastor, the man that went with us and took us hunting, killed a cow elk on the last night. I killed a bull elk on the first night. And I think Brother Castle spent most of the time catching butterflies. And so it's kind of running through the thing, you know. So I know he'll listen to that. So listen to this. So I want to make sure I got that in, okay. But he was good at packing my meat down for me. I appreciate that. Derek Lowen actually drove down, and he was the fourth person who went. We got to spend a week with Derek. By the way, Derek and Rebecca are doing wonderfully. And I was glad to have his youth and strength. He may not be very big, but he's Montana tough. And he not only a lot of times packed out meat, he would meet some of us on the way back up the mountain and help us pack out some things too. He was a blessing to us throughout the week, and he wanted me to tell you hi also. Now, I killed my elk on Monday night. But you know what? Elk hunting's very much a team sport. It's very much a team effort. And you know, you don't quit because you're done. You go help the other people. By the way, that's pretty good right there for all of them. I want to teach you some character things. Say, preacher, what'd you do? I went up and hunted with the rest of them. I spent most of my time glassing with binoculars, spotting scope, and helping to find and locate game and be able to communicate with walkie-talkie and tell people where things were and things like that. So I hunted every step with them for the rest of the week. But I also did this. I had a lot of time to set up on the mountain. Had a lot of time. And I kept my phone here. Now, there's no service. Where we were, absolutely no cell phone service. I know. Hallelujah, what a Savior. And so besides driving in for church on Wednesday night, checking messages, catching up with everything, and then driving back in, we had no cell service except for that brief amount of time. So I had a lot of thinking time. Praise the Lord. And I said, Lord, teach me some things. And I want to learn about this. You know, we read a phrase like we read in the Bible there. It says that the Lord called Moses up to the top of the mount. Up to the top of the mount. He didn't call him halfway up. He said, come to the very top. And you know what it says? And Moses went up. That's four words that we don't think a thing about until you're the person that's doing it. And so, you know what? I didn't just read about it. Now I know about it. I know what it is. Hey, we can have a theme, give me this mountain, but we could talk about climbing mountains, but now I've done some of it. And I said, Lord, I want you to teach me on a real practical basis some things. And so he did. And you know what I did? I'd pull my phone out, and I got a little note app on there where I could just write notes. And I began to jot down. Every time God would give me a spiritual lesson, something he taught me, I just jotted it down. Said, I'm going to go back and share it with Blessed Hope Baptist Church. How about this? It seems easy. Here's the first one. It seems easier for you to go down than up. Now, I put the word seems in there for a reason. It seems easier for you to go down than up. But I'm going to tell you something. I had no problem with my legs, my knees at all, ever, except when I was going downhill. I got to talking to somebody that's a doctor. On the way home, I made some phone calls. And I got talking to somebody, and I said, let me talk to you about the way our skeleton and our muscles are made. And I talked about how when I was going down the hill, walking down the hill, how hard it was on my knees and how hard it was on my body. I hurt more going down than I did coming up. And you know what the man said? He said this, Christian doctor. He said, preacher, God didn't create us to go downhill. You know, a lot of times what we'll do is we'll come, we'll look down the hill, we'll look up the hill and say it would be easier to go down. It's actually harder on you to go down. And you know what? A lot of Christian people have found that out. You say, well, climbing's hard, preacher. Well, it may be. I'm not saying it's not hard. I'm saying there's something that's harder. And by the way, young people, watch out for what seems easy. Watch out for what seems easy, because a lot of times what seems easy in the long run is the hardest thing on you. And so you know what? God made us as people. God made us as Christians to climb. You know, we ought to look for that higher ground. I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. Good night. You know what? Brother Dalton preached a little message on the bus when we were going out to Rhode Island. He preached and warned us about Jonah going down to Tarshish and down to the ship and down in the belly of the whale. And you know what, folks? Once you start going down, things get worse. Just turn around and go up. I don't care where you're at. Say, preacher, I've gone down some. Well, turn around and go back up. But it looks harder. It may look harder, but it's not harder. By the way, the view's a lot better. And the opportunities for success is at the top of the mountain, not at the bottom of the mountain. So number one, I wrote that down. It seems easier to go down than up. I wrote this down too under that point. The level of enjoyment of an accomplishment is in direct proportion to the level of difficulty of the challenge. And you know what? We've got a whole country, a whole culture that's looking for the easy thing. Folks, why don't you decide you're going to look for the hard thing? Let me just kind of pay respects to something. We worship comfort. It's become a rational argument in the minds of even Christians that they ought to be able to win the argument if the argument is, well, this is more comfortable. Okay? I don't like wearing this. It's not as comfortable. Preacher, the auditorium's too cool. I'm not comfortable enough. Can I share something with you? I didn't bring you here for you to be comfortable. Preacher, some of the stress standards at the school, I mean, the kids aren't comfortable. Let me shock you. I'm not bringing your kids here so that they can be comfortable. Now let that sink in a little bit. We have worship comfort. You know how many great accomplishments have happened when somebody was comfortable? Zero. And yet we worship comfort. That's why we've got this casual, sloppy society that's walking around in Walmart in their pajamas. Of course, you only have to wear pajamas when all you got to do is walk out to the mailbox once a month and pick a check up. But at least we're comfortable. At least we're comfortable. I mean, we run from things that are hard, and yet the thing about it is, watch this. The level of enjoyment of an accomplishment is in direct proportion to the level of the difficulty of the challenge. And you know what? I think instead of trying to figure out how comfortable we can be, we ought to say, what can I do that would challenge me in a way that I haven't been challenged in a long time? So number one, it's easier. It seems easier to go down than up, but it's not. Number one, you know what you learn by climbing the mountain? You learn real quick to get rid of unnecessary weight. Unnecessary weight. Now, Gander Mountain, Bass Pro Shop, Cabela's, they've got an entire section created for guys like me that's never gone. Because if you go to their camping, hiking section, they've got all this stuff that looks so cool and so necessary. And I bought most of it, Brother Brian. I just like, yeah, I need that. I mean, you never know. I might get bit by a rattlesnake, you know, and that looks good. And yeah, I got an emergency tent that folds out. Put that in there. And I'm just, you know, putting all this stuff. I mean, I've showed up the first day and I'm like, you know, I'm ready. I'll survive. The old mountain man's got a little pack on. It's got like three or four things in it, you know. But hey, you know what? He don't know what I know. There's bad things out there, you know. And so after the first day, I spent eight miles climbing up and down a mountain with all the, you know what I did that night? I unzipped that thing and went, who cares, man? Forget this. I don't need that. I don't need this. I don't need that. How about this verse? Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. By the way, nothing in that pack was a sin. It wasn't sinful. It was just weighting me down. You know, folks, I say this a lot, but let me just help you. I promise you, there's a reason your preacher is happy as I am. And you know why it is? Simple, 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 simple. I keep my life as simple and as uncomplicated as possible. You know what I'm going to do? I'm not going to have a bunch of junk in my backpack that I don't need. What are you carrying? Hey, by the way, I know you've been trudging up and down a lot of mountains and a lot of hills with that bitterness in your backpack, but didn't it get kind of heavy? I mean, envy and jealousy weighs you down. You know, there's nobody I'm jealous of and nobody I'm envious of. Thankful for who God made me to be and what I get to do. And if something good happens to somebody, I'm the first one to say praise the Lord and hallelujah and great, fantastic, and God bless them. And you know what? But come on, listen. I believe if you'll just boil life down to simplicity. My walk with God is very simple. I hate it when people come in and try to make it complicated. It's not complicated, okay? He talks to you. You talk to him. You walk with him. Okay, he talks to you through the Bible. You talk to him through prayer. You don't do it for 15 minutes a day and forget about him. That's the opening conversation that lasts the rest of the day. And you walk with the Lord and talk with the Lord and you discuss things with him. And you know what? You listen to the Holy Spirit and you walk with God. You know, somebody's got to come in and let me give you the 10-point outline on the only way that, you know, stop. He's God. He loves us. He wants to hear from you. You know, I prayed this morning. He said, tell Levi, I haven't heard from him for a while, and say hi to him, all right? So he said to say hi. Yeah, so he'd like to hear from you sometime, you know. But and I don't like complicated. You know why I don't, and I don't say this wrong. We have gone, me and my wife, to marriage marriage retreats. And I'm not saying that we haven't profited some, but you know, sometimes I feel like by the end of it, they've given me like these seven books and 16 lists. And come on, I'm sorry, folks, but marriage is not that complicated. I got an idea. Why don't you just be nice to each other? Just be nice. Okay, you say kind stuff. She says kind things. Okay, whatever she does, you thank her for it. Whatever he does, you thank him for it. I mean, God, ladies, men are not that complicated. Okay, we're just like a step above cavemen, okay? I mean, yeah, we're not that complicated. You know, amen, brother. If you know, make us an apple pie. We're happy for a week. We're not that complicated. Women, on the other hand. It's time. Women aren't that complicated. You know what? Every single one of them responds to kindness and love and consideration. I mean, come on. You know, church to me is not complicated. It's just not. You just come in. You know what you do? You love all the brethren. Good to see everybody. You fellowship. You sing from your heart the praises of God. You pray together. You get your Bible open. You say, God, speak to me. Everybody wants to turn in and all this other stuff. And I don't understand all that, you know. I don't know why, you know, people are trying to turn church into the drama club. I don't understand that stuff. I mean, I just come in and love everybody. Just be glad to see everybody. Just be nice to everybody. Sing together. Pray together. And say goodbye. Go your separate ways. See you Sunday. Amen. I just think we've, you know, listen, I think here's worth your night here. Unzip your backpack when you get home and look at what you're carrying and throw the junk out. Okay, because it's weighting you down. How about this? Listen to your guide. Now, you say, preacher, when you were planning on going to Colorado, you were going to go with somebody that's been out there multiple times. Yep, that's the only way I'd go. When you found out that he couldn't go, why didn't you and Brother Castle just go? Well, I could have went over and sat down with Eric, and he offered to do this. He said, I'll show you the maps. I'll show you exactly where to park, where to camp. I'll show you the direction to go and all of that. I'll give you a list of things you need to take. And I told Brother Castle, I am not going on a hunt without somebody that's either been there multiple times and know what they're doing or lives there. And I want local knowledge. If not, there's going to be two Indiana flatlanders wandering around in Colorado getting eaten by grizzly bears. That's what's going to happen. I mean, we're going to be a little front page paper down in the right-hand corner of the Linton Daily World, two Baptist preachers, Greene County, eaten by bears. That's what's going to happen. So I told him, I mean, I flat out, I'm not going. And so, you know what? Listen, watch this. Why don't you go and find somebody that's been successful at what you want to do and shut up and listen to them? And from the first time I talked to this guy, I liked him. And he's very unassuming. But at the same time, knowledgeable. And you know what I did? I showed up to camp the first night, and I met him. We shook hands, and I said to him, I said, we are outdoorsmen, and we've got ourselves into reasonable shape as much as we can anticipate for this. But we know nothing about elk hunting. And we're here for one reason. We're here because you're here, and we want to learn anything. So you tell me anything. You teach me anything. We're going to be like sponges. If we're doing something wrong, you won't offend us. You know, folks, listen to me. There is nothing more valuable than a teachable spirit. Okay? And find somebody that, you know, I'm going to tell you what bothers me in our fundamental movement. I don't preach a lot about fundamentalism across the nation. I just don't. You know, I'm here to take care of Blessed Hope Baptist Church, you know. As a matter of fact, I try to protect you from a lot of the nonsense of the politics that are going on in independent fundamental Baptist circles. I don't need any more politics. Thank you very much. But I just want to pastor Blessed Hope Baptist Church. But you know what? There's a bunch of young preachers, 20-somethings, that are blogging and tweeting and spending all their time in front of a computer telling my generation and the one above me, the heroes that I had, everything that's wrong and everything that we're doing. You know what I want to tell them? Why don't you shut up? And go out and do something before you have an opinion about anything. I didn't go to Bible college in 1979 so I could go up there and tell the professors and the teachers and the preachers what they should be doing. We went up there and we shut our mouth and we listened and we learned. And because of that, I gleaned the wisdom. Did we learn from perfect people? No. There are no perfect people. Were there some things that we needed to take and some things we needed to leave? Yeah. But you know what? You didn't have to spout off about it. You know? I mean, find the guy that's killed 24 elks in 27 years and go with him. Okay? Listen, you know why you're failing in your Christian life? Just look up here. It's not time to pray. You know why you're failing in your Christian life? Because you're hanging around with losers. If you're hanging around with a crowd that's unsuccessful in living the Christian life, why do you think you're going to be successful in living the Christian life? Hey, why don't you take your membership card to your loser club and humble yourself? And young ladies, find a godly woman in this church, some godly women to follow. Young men, find some godly men that's got a track record and actually have done something for the Lord and have been faithful to the Lord. Put yourself underneath their tutelage and say, just, you know what? I don't know nothing about anything, man. I'm just here to learn. If you need to yell at me, yell at me. If you need to teach me, teach me. You need to correct me, correct me. Listen, grow some thick skin. Okay, you can't rebuke anybody in this day and age. Yeah, I mean, really. I mean, you know, I'll go to church as long as he doesn't preach about anything that I'm doing. Well, please do this for him. Why don't you write down all of your little secret sins so I know, and I'll have a list of them up here, and when I see you come in, I'm like, sure, I don't mention those things because you're so fragile. Come on now. I don't know who's doing what. I know some things. I know some of you are involved in some nonsense, some wickedness that you have no business being involved in. But for the most part, I don't know what's going on. I live my life. I had one couple go out the door late just here a while back and said, you got our house bugged? They were kind of kidding. You know, they told Dad that before. You must have a bug at our, you got our house bugged? Because it's like every time we come here, you're preaching about what we're doing. You know, there is something called the Holy Spirit. Amen. Okay, get mad at him. Leave me alone. Listen to your guide. Be teachable. I want to finish with this, the importance of footprints. Importance of footprints. Now, it was cold. Y'all haven't had cold yet. I have. All right, 3 of the nights that we were camping out in the mountains, it was single digits at night. We stayed in a bus. I've been in the bus ministry for an entire week. I was in the bus ministry. This crazy old man out there, crazy old mountain man out there, has taken a bus, 1980 bus, completely gutted it. He put 2 sets of bunk beds in it. He's got a propane stove in there. He's got a propane heater in there. The girls were asking me earlier, where do you shower? How long were you out there? Long enough so that nobody noticed anything after a while, amen? It's just, we all stunk so bad it didn't matter, you know? It was man camp. Come on now. So. He drove this bus. We went back 1.5 miles off of the last vestige of civilization on these roads with rocks. And I mean, you would not believe. I've taken a couple of videos of us climbing these roads, hanging out the window. There's no way to describe it. And I don't know how the man to this day got a bus out there. This guy, for a period of time in his life, made a living hauling cabins, these pre-made cabins, up into the mountains and setting them for people. He had a semi that he'd haul them up there with. He was telling me a story where he had one of these cabins on the back of a semi and he was trying to get up around this curve and this drop-off and he couldn't make the curve, so he gets on the radio, calls a buddy who has a big crane on the back of his truck. He backs up to the back of this guy's trailer, puts a crane on it, swings it out over the mountain so that they can go forward and go up around the... I mean, you know, that's cool. That that is cool. Can you imagine driving that truck, being in the driver's seat? No, I know, but man, he tell me the story. He lived to tell about it. I mean, you wouldn't believe where we were. And I pull around when we barely get up there in you know, his yuppie truck, we barely get up there. And there is this bus. And I'm like, and all the windows are gone. There's plywood down the side. He's gutted it. He's turned it into this little cabin, this little hunting cabin, you know. And it was cold. I mean, I got on one from hunting all day, and I took my coat off and my insulated vest, and I threw it up on the steering wheel, and I didn't notice it leaned against the windshield of the bus. And the next morning, I got up and tried to get it off. It was frozen to the windshield. We'd put our boots on the floor and go to bed at night. We'd wake up, and our boots would be frozen to the floor of the bus. Now, that's cool. That's cool. It's amazing. It's freezing. Monday night, Tuesday night, cold, but no snow. Tuesday night during the night, Monday and Tuesday, no snow. Tuesday night during the night, I get up to go to the facilities. Really, really nice outhouse, known as a little patch of sagebrush. Y'all city people, you need help. And I opened the bus door, middle of the night, 2 o'clock in the morning, look out, and there's about that much snow. And I'm like, yes. Because that's going to make the elk hunt better. You can spot them better. And after that, I was always worried about getting lost. And so I went with the Christian brother that took us, and me and him was going to climb the mountain. So we drive around to the backside of the mountain, and there's no way to describe it. But you ever seen one of those where the rocks looked like they broken apart and just fallen down like a cascade down the side of a mountain? We went about 100 yards straight up one of those things. And I think to this day, he didn't have to do that. I think he did it just because I was with him. Went to see if I could do it. We went up that mountain, and then he said, it's dark, pitch black. We got to get up the top of the mountain before the light comes so that the elk coming up, we can catch them. So 4:30 in the morning, we get up. 5 o'clock, we leave the bus. We drive around, we climb up the back of this mountain, go about 2,000 feet up, and I mean, it's just, you know, it's all you can do it. But that particular day, I was with Derek, and I could tell Derek was stopping more often than he needed to, because I was with him, and slow and steady wins the race. I'll tell you that on Sunday, but slow and steady wins the race. And so I told Derek, I said, Derek, I said, why don't you take off on up the mountain and get set up? I've already killed my elk. You need to get up there. And he said, preacher, I don't want to lose you. And this is what I told him. Brother, it snowed. I can follow your footprints. And you know what I did? How do you get up that mountain? Every single place that man put his foot, I just put it there too. Footsteps of Jesus that make the pathway glow. We will follow the steps of Jesus where they go. You know, folks, listen to me. Again, is the Christian life that complicated? I don't think so. I mean, somebody's come before us. Somebody's left us a path. Hey, you say, how did you get up there in the dark? Watch this. This is so cool. I got footsteps, and I got this cool little light that I clipped on the bill of my hat right here. And it shone just enough light where I could see where to put my foot next. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light into my path. And you know what? I'm climbing that mountain saying, this, Jesus, this is how you wanted us to live. Say, preacher, can you always see the Lord? Can you always find him? I'll be honest with you. Sometimes you go through dark times and it's like, where's God? But if you'll turn your headlight lamp on, you know what you will see? You'll see where you put your foot next. And you know what you do? You keep climbing. That's what you do. You keep climbing. Say, I get tired sometimes. Well, then stop and breathe. That's what I did. Catch your breath back, and then put your foot in the next footprint. And you know what? You keep doing that for long. You're sitting on the top of that mountain, and you look over, and here's the sun coming up the other side of the mountain, of another range of mountains. And I'm going to tell you, it's as if, I mean, no painter could ever capture it. I sat there, tears running down my face, saying, thank you, God, that I got to see this. Now, folks, listen to me. What have you not seen? What are you missing? Because you'd rather take off on your direction than you would just follow the footsteps. I mean, what would Jesus do? The ultimate goal of the Christian life is to be like Jesus. Put your foot where he left his prints. Turn your headlamp on, and wherever you see the next footstep, put your foot there. You know what? You'll get to the top of the mountain. Now, I really showed my ignorance a few times, and I love this older Christian brother, 70 years old, tough as nails. I mean, grit, titanium. The dude was made from spare Sherman tank parts. I mean, he's just a tough old guy. And he's so logical, so practical. And of course, I'm nervous because my biggest fear is get lost. I'll be honest with you. So we were going up the mountain one time, and he said, now when we get to the top of the mountain, he said, I'm going to go on ahead. You get to the top of the mountain. He said, I'm going to go right. You go left. And I told him, I said, okay, we're separating. Yeah. He said, you go about 300 or 400 yards. Or no, I'm sorry. He said, you go about 1,000 yards that way, and I'll go about 1,000 yards this way. He said, just kind of count it out. And then I asked this question because he's getting ready to leave me. And now I'm in the dark. And I say, hey. And he said, yeah. And I said, what if I take off that direction and then I get lost? And I don't know where I'm at. And he just kind of looks at me. And he said, then you turn around and you look where your footprints are and you follow them back to where you weren't lost. Oh. Okay. Feeling very dumb. The old man walks off mumbling, flatlander, flatlander. I'm done with this. Say, how do you get back? Preacher, I'm lost. I got off track. I got off the trail. I'm lost. It takes guts. It takes humility to admit that. You know that prodigal had to come to himself? This isn't where I wanted to end up. This isn't what I dreamed about. This isn't what I wanted. I don't want to live like this the rest of my life. You know what you do? You follow your footprints back to the place where you weren't lost. Okay? A lot of young people left Blessed Hope Baptist Church, and you know what? They're still out there wandering in circles. You know why? Because they got too much pride to follow their footprints back to the place where they weren't lost. You know what? I don't know what the devil's conjured up in their mind that they're going to find once they get here, but you know what they're going to find? Come on, church. I know my church well enough to know what they'll find. They'll find a bunch of people who say, we're glad to see you. I mean, where were you when you weren't lost? Then go back there. Seem elementary. Those are lessons from the mountain. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity just to, Lord, teach a little bit, dear God, of some of the things that you've taught me, and I pray, Lord, that you'd bless us. Lord, thank you for your sweetness and your grace and your goodness to us. Lord, thank you, dear God, for Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Help us, Lord, to just every day get up and follow the footsteps of Jesus. Lord, we're all prone to wander. That's what the songwriter wrote. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. That is our carnal nature. That is our inclination, our natural inclination. And Lord, the best of us at times have wandered off the path, Lord, so we don't stand in judgment. But we do ask, dear God, that Lord, the wandering soul, I think of so many young people that I pray for every day. They just turned around and followed the footsteps back. They could get somewhere where they weren't lost. I pray, Lord, that you'd help them. Help us, Lord, prevent that from happening in our lives by just putting one foot in front of the other. Keep the headlamp on. Listen to our guide, dear God. Take out the weights, dear Lord, that's unnecessary and cumbersome to what we are trying to be for you. And then, Lord, help us to just keep going up. It's tempting when we get tired to look down the mountain and say, it would be easier just to go back down. But Lord, help us to understand what's always easy isn't always what is always best. So I pray that you'll help us. We pray in Jesus' name.